Hello and welcome again to Catholic Answers Live. We start another week off. We started off strong this time. Second hour, Monsignor Charles Pope will be here. We're going to talk about heaven. You should think about heaven early and often. The more we think about heaven, the more likely it is to set us on the right path in this life. So we'll talk to Monsignor Pope about how to think about heaven. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and our guest the first hour is Joe Heschmeyer. Joe's here to talk about prayer. Does it really work? We'll maybe get a spoiler alert right from the beginning. Joe has been involved in the world of Catholic apologetics and catechesis since 2009 when he began the blog Shameless Popery. After graduating from Georgetown University, he worked as a lawyer in Washington, D.C. before leaving to enter the seminary. Joe was a seminarian for 5 years, did not discern a call to be ordained. He now works at the School of Faith, which provides formation for Catholics with a particular emphasis on mentoring those who have the responsibility to teach the faith to others. Its goal is to renew the Catholic culture of schools and individuals. It's probably also a good thing that he did not discern a call to the priesthood because he got married 2 weeks ago. Congratulations, Joe.
Thank you very much, and thanks for having me on the show.
It's great to have you here. You finally did it. It's just I'm amazed and thrilled for you. I mean, I'm not amazed.
Thank you. I think a lot of people were amazed.
Yeah, yeah. I guess amazed came out the wrong. No, actually, that is how I meant it. But apparently, prayer works in your case because you're married now, and I'm sure that you have prayed at some point about that. But there's lots of objections to the idea that prayer is effective. What do we Catholics believe about that?
Yeah. So, you know, like you said, there are a lot of objections about it. Right before the show, you and I were talking about George Carlin and his objections, where he had this, I think, a very good objection, a very good question about it, where he suggested that we were arrogant for praying. George Carlin, if anyone who's not familiar, he was an atheist comedian. And he said it's arrogant to ask the God of the universe for anything. He's got this divine plan. It's a perfect plan. And we come along and we want to change it. And that sounds kind of ridiculous. So there are really two questions. The first is, does prayer change anything? And the second is, should prayer change anything? And the answer to both is yes. And we get this really concretely from Scripture. So, for example, in James 5, verses 13 to 18, St. James says, is any among you suffering, let him pray. And then he says that the prayer of faith will save the sick man. And he says explicitly, the prayer of a righteous man has great power and its effects. And then he gives an example from the Old Testament. He says, Elijah, he was a man of a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gained rain, and the earth brought forth its fruit. In other words, he both started and stopped a drought through the power of prayer. So you can't hear that, take it seriously, and still ask, does prayer change anything? And then, of course, there's the much bigger question of why God includes us in this plan of his. You know, why, whether or not prayer should change anything.
And so Carlin's objection that look, if God's got a plan, you can't who do you think you are to ask God to change that plan? It doesn't actually comport with who God is, because his plan is much bigger and fuller than Carlin can imagine, it sounds like.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, one concrete biblical example is that Jonah goes to Nineveh and says, 40 days hence, and Nineveh will be destroyed. But of course, the Ninevites, when they repent and they pray, that plan changes. They're not destroyed. But any loving parent, I think, knows what this looks like, because you don't want children who are just forces that are acted upon. You want them to cooperate in their own destiny in a positive way. And so you say things. And, I mean, this happens every day. Something as simple as, if you want dessert, you have to finish your food. What you're saying is, you're not going to get dessert, but you can change this through your own good behavior. And so prayer works a bit like that. You may not get the outcome you want unless you pray. It's an incentive to enter into dialogue with God. It's an incentive to ask God for the things that you need and the things that he knows that you need.
888-318-7884 is our number here. If you'd like to talk with Joe Heschmeyer about prayer and whether or not prayer is in fact effective. Here's another problem, however, Joe, that there seem to be so many times when we don't experience the effectiveness of prayer, where it seems like my prayer did no good at all.
Yeah, and this is one of the hardest things in addressing the topic of prayer, to say, what about those prayers that seem to have been unanswered? And I think that one answer to that is that no prayer is totally uneventful. No prayer is without effect, because if nothing else, it at least changes us. We can be assured that we are changed in some way just through getting in the habit ever more of going to God for things. But it's important that God's relationship to us is a loving father, not a butler. And so we don't just ring the bell and have him, you know, hop to it. So there are times when a parent says no to things that their kid wants. And a parent who never says no is just not a good parent. So we don't always understand when we're denied things in childhood why we don't get the things that we want. You know, I wanted a Nintendo for a long time and my parents thought it was a bad idea. And that seemed like the worst injustice in history at the time. But it makes sense in hindsight, right? And so in a lot of ways, I think that entering a greater period of spiritual maturity, we might be able to look back at moments in our life that seemed like thwarted opportunities or seemed like walls were being put up for no good reason, and come away with a greater sense of what God might have been up to. But one of the things we have to keep in mind, I think, throughout all of this is that none of us know the mind of God. So we can say God has a better idea, and he doesn't just say no for no reason. But we don't always know what the specific reason is. And this side of heaven, we just won't.
Joe Heschmeyer is our guest. We're talking about prayer. Is prayer effective? Does prayer work? So you're welcome to call 888-318-7884 if you have a question for Joe, 888-318-7884. It almost sounds like you're saying prayer works, but it doesn't always produce the result we want, which to the skeptic might sound like, yeah, that's what I mean. It doesn't work.
Yeah. So one concrete case of this is with Abraham, Lot, and Sodom and Gomorrah. So God invites Abraham into a prayerful negotiation, for lack of a better term, over the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And God says, well, if I don't find 50 righteous people, I'll destroy the cities. And Abraham talks God down to 10. And there still aren't 10 righteous people in the city. And so the cities are still destroyed, but Lot, who is Abraham's nephew and one of the righteous people, he and his family are saved. And so there's still, you know, it's not the outcome Abraham was seemingly hoping for. It's not what he was bargaining for.
Okay.
But his prayers really did change things. So it's one of the ways that, you know, we may not get exactly what we're asking for. We may get something that's different than what we would have gotten if we hadn't have prayed, or what we thought we wanted in prayer. And it's not one of those things where you can just say, I'm going to put God in this laboratory experiment. Here's what would have happened. I'm going to say three prayers.
Right.
And then make him, because then again, you're treating him like a genie or a butler. And God seems to refuse to be treated that way.
I think that's fair, but what if I prayed to him for a genie and a butler? Doesn't that seem like that? Well, anyway, 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. Joe Heschmeyer is our guest. You can find out all about Joe at Shameless Popery. That's his what do we call it? Blog or podcast? I always get those two confused.
That was the blog.
That's a blog.
Podcast is called The Catholic Podcast.
Which is a very inventive name, Joe. We're talking about prayer. We're talking about whether or not prayer is effective. If you have an objection to the idea that prayer does in fact work, give us a call, 888-318-7884. If you just have a question about how prayer works, 888-318-7884. Right now, the fall store-wide sale continues here at Catholic Answers. You can save money on hundreds of items in our online store. Just enter the promo code CALIVE18 at checkout when you visit at shop.catholic.com. Save 20% off hundreds of items in our online store, including all of our books, DVDs, CDs, MP3s, ebooks, and more. Visit shop.catholic.com today and begin saving. Be sure to enter that promo code CALIVE18 at checkout to save.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
A lot of people think that street evangelization involves yelling out of a bullhorn telling people that they're going to hell. Not so with St. Paul's Street Evangelization. Our methods are non-confrontational and effective. We simply offer information on the Catholic faith along with rosaries, miraculous medals, and prayer. Pope Francis wrote about how beautiful it is to see street preachers joyfully bringing Jesus to every corner of the earth. Street evangelization is fun and fruitful. Join us today at streetevangelization.com.
It's the start of a new day for Morning Catholic Radio.
Isn't it the case that when you're stirring food in a pot, it burns less, like, because it's not just sitting there?
What about your forearms? You get some nice buff forearms when you're doing that stirring.
But let me say, I can
totally get this for you, Gloria. You don't need any help stirring the pot.
You know, you all make it so easy for me.
Morning Glory, Catholic from the start. Weekday mornings, 7 Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I know prayer works because we're back, and that's what I prayed for. Back on Catholic Answers Live. Happy to be here. Joe Heschmeyer, our guest this hour. We're talking about prayer, and the question being, does prayer work? Joe, he's got a podcast which is called The Catholic – wait, help me out, Joe.
The Catholic Podcast.
The Catholic Podcast, but the blog is called Shameless Popery.
It's not called The Catholic Blog. I know.
I know, right. But Shameless Popery is such a good name. I hope you never change it. I love that name.
Yeah. Actually, a Protestant friend of mine gave me the name idea for that.
Really?
And I'm forever indebted to him. He was being sarcastic, but I loved it.
Our first caller is ready to go. You ready to go, Joe Heschmeyer?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Matt in Boston listening on – well, just says listening on AM radio there. I imagine it's probably 1160. Matt, your question for Joe Heschmeyer.
Yes, I'm a practicing Catholic, and I believe that prayer is effective, but I'm a little bit confused. Sometimes I'm wondering, am I going to have a situation, well, there's such and such a person, you know, we were depending on you to pray for this person, but you didn't, so he went to hell. And I know it's a little bit of a silly example, but I guess the question is, you know, are there things that are my job here to pray for, and if they don't, will God leave them undone, and will people suffer for them? Do I have that type of responsibility?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. I think the answer, I think the short answer is yes. Now, I think that's a scary answer, but this is the whole idea that God wants to make us cooperators in his work of redemption, that he doesn't just want to do it alone. He wants to empower us, but it does mean that if you are going regularly to prayer, if you are entering into dialogue with God, you may find that some particular intention is kind of placed upon your heart. You know, you wake up with that sense of like, oh, I really need to pray for this person today. And you didn't really give yourself that idea. You should be really mindful of those things, and you should pay attention to them because they can make a huge difference. But if we say that they can make a huge difference, that this situation changed because you prayed for it, the logical converse of that is if you ignore those promptings from the Holy Spirit and you don't pray for those things, then the situation won't change, or it won't change for the better. So I think it's incumbent upon us to take prayer very seriously, not just for our own salvation or our own sanctification, but also for the good of those around us, maybe people we wouldn't have even expected God to put in our lives.
What do you make of that, Matt?
I think that sounds right, and it's really, I guess I'm just struggling with the fact that there's a terrifying responsibility that's been given to me, and I might be held responsible for it, and I quite frankly, I just don't like it.
Well, yeah, I understand. I think it's, you know, if you're, I don't know if you're a parent or not, but I think fatherhood is a similar thing where you can have a profoundly positive or negligent and negative influence. And so sometimes God just trusts us more than I think we want to be trusted.
But we seem to be more comfortable with it on the physical realm, and that if someone is depending on us, you know, physically, that like they, I don't know, have a heart attack and they need someone to call 911. Well, we're comfortable with that. Yeah, we got to call 911. Or if they need, you know, something else, they need a hand, they, you know, with their groceries or something. But somehow in the spiritual life, we feel like God's cheating or something to suggest that we should participate in the good of our neighbors and our brothers and sisters.
You know, I think one thing maybe to add to that, too, is that we want to make it clear God's not out there to trick you. You know, you're not going to get to the last judgment and say, oh, well, you didn't pray for Mary Flynn in Indianapolis. And you say, I didn't even know. I mean, I maybe met her one time. I don't know who that is. You know, it's not going to be like that. The people you should be praying for are people that you either know right now you should be praying for, or once you start praying and asking God about that, you'll know pretty quickly. Again, it's not a trick. It's not a trap. He's making you a cooperator in the mission.
Matt, thank you very, very much for that call. I think I said 1160 before. The Catholic radio station, Stations of the Cross in Boston, is 1060 a.m., so I apologize for that. But it's a very exciting time for the people in Boston, so they can deal with it. They won the World Series last night. Were you aware of that, Joe?
I was quite aware of that. In fact, you mentioned I got married, and I've got now a brother-in-law from Boston, and my wife's family's from the L.A. area. So it was a very important series.
Oh, yeah. So you got to be careful, huh?
Exactly. Yeah. I've got to really watch what I say right now on the air.
Yep. Let's go to Tina in Warren, Ohio, listening on Station of the Cross Radio there. Tina, your question for Joe.
Yeah. I don't actually have a question, but talking about prayer and how sometimes it's answered and sometimes it's not necessarily answered the way you think it should be. A couple quick things. When my son was a teenager, he was very defiant and rebellious, and I prayed and prayed and prayed for the longest time. God, just do something. I've done everything I can. Do something to just kind of pull the rug out from under him and get his attention and make him see what he's doing. And at 25, he had 4 grand mal seizures out of the blue. For no apparent reason, he's 37, has not had one since. And when he was going through recovery, because it just totally wiped him out, I felt so guilty. I felt like, oh, my God, I did this. And he said, Mom, you have to stop beating yourself up, because I confessed to him. I'm bawling. And he's like, Mom, this is probably the best thing that's ever happened to me, because it woke me up and made me realize what I've been doing with my life and what I need to change. So wow. I really felt like all those years of praying, yes, I felt guilty at first, but his response was exactly what I had prayed for.
Yeah,
and
Joe.
And the other thing was
okay, go ahead. Yep.
That when he was much younger and he went into band, he wanted to play the trumpet and he wanted private lessons, and I couldn't afford him, and I prayed, God, give us the money for lessons. You know, he's not asking for anything crazy. And the answer was no, we just didn't have the money for it. And a few months later, it came out in the paper that the music store where we had rented his trumpet, where he would have taken those lessons, the guy that was giving the lessons was abusing the trumpet players he was giving private lessons to. So there was a reason that we didn't have the money. That
oh,
I was
interesting.
Told no.
Joe, what do you make of all that?
Yeah, that's good. I mean, so often in life we don't really know why we get a no for something that seems like a good request. And I think Tina's given, you know, one pretty believable explanation for why the no might have been the most merciful response God could have given at that time and in that moment, as well as really the extended mercy of kind of giving her a sneak peek into why that no was given. But yeah, I think too, the first thing as well, even the idea that through prayer he might have hit rock bottom and that would feel like a terrible thing. This gets, I think, really to the heart of it. We don't want people around us to suffer in any way, and that's good. But at the same time, we know that if people don't face some sort of hard times, they'll often not get better. So sometimes God permits these things to happen that we're really uncomfortable with in the moment, which turn out to be, you know, like your son said, the best thing that like possible in the lifetime there. But I also, you know, you talked about praying for him a lot, so I wanted to say one more thing on that as well, which is that sometimes God doesn't answer a prayer immediately because he wants to encourage devout, intense, repetitive, kind of persistent prayer. And Jesus gives us this model. He gives the parable of the persistent widow, where she just pounds on the door of the judge demanding justice. And he says even an unjust judge in that situation is going to eventually respond just because he's tired of hearing her. And this is the model he gives us for prayer. In other words, go annoy God until he fixes the situation. That's what he's encouraging you to do. But there's a reason for all of that. And the reason is that we are made for relationship with him, and we won't be happy outside of that relationship with him. We have an infinite God-shaped hole in our hearts, and it can't be filled by anything other than him. And prayer is one of the clearest places in which we come face to face with that reality and get the only sort of satisfaction and satiation for that God-shaped hole.
Tina, thank you very, very much for that call. We're talking with Joe Heschmeyer today about prayer. In fact, the question on the table is, does prayer work? If you object to the idea that it does, give us a call, 888-318-7884. If you'd like to know more about prayer and how it works, 888-318-7884. Our assistant producer, Marie, who, by the way, just did a beautiful job painting her part of the studio. It looks fantastic out there. She has a question for you. She said, can you pray for your guardian angel to go help someone else? Does this mean we can directly cause something to happen?
That's a really good question because it's a really mysterious thing. Yeah, clearly. Well, so I think one place to look would be in Luke 1 when the angel Gabriel appears before Zechariah. So to briefly spell out the scene, Zechariah is in the temple. He's offering sacrifice for the people. And he may even be in the presence of the Holy of Holies. It's not entirely clear from the context. But the angel Gabriel appears before him in this sacred place that only the priest could go. And the angel Gabriel tells him about the birth of John the Baptist. And Zechariah has the audacity to kind of balk at it and wonder if it's really real. And Gabriel's response is intense. He says, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God always." In other words, what makes Zechariah so amazing is that one time a year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest can go stand before the presence of the living God in the Holy of Holies. And no one else on earth is given that privilege. No one else is allowed to even come with him. But Gabriel, as an angel, is always before God. And so he's kind of pulling rank on Zechariah. This will be a really interesting contrast to when he says to Mary, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you," because Gabriel's recognizing that what he experiences is more profound than the high priest, but less incredible than getting to bear God in one's womb. But the reason I mention all of this is because it tells us a little something about the way angels work, how they operate, how they move, that he can be simultaneously in the presence of God and on this mission, speaking to Zechariah. And so there's something similar when Jesus talks about our guardian angels. He talks about the little ones and how we shouldn't harm them, in part because their angels stand before God always. So in that sense, I think encouraging your guardian angel to help someone else can be done without losing angelic protection. Now, I mean, the other thing to add here is that you can always just ask for other angels to help them as well. But it's not like asking your guardian angel to help your sister is going to mean that you don't have guardian angels looking out for you or protecting you anymore.
Oh, like your guardian angel's off doing something else.
Right, but exactly.
It doesn't work that way for them. Joe Heschmeyer is our guest. We're talking about prayer. Does prayer work? If you have a comment or question in that vein, if you'd like to get in on that conversation, 888-318-7884 is the number. This is Catholic Answers Live. We'll be right back with more with Joe right after this.
Got questions? Visit us today at Catholic.com.
A generation ago, Christian parents didn't have to worry about how to explain transgenderism to their 9-year-old children or help their teenager deal with mockery at school for believing in traditional marriage. But today, as our culture decays, we have to know how to talk to our children about these issues. In Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues, Layla Miller and Trent Horn give parents the crucial tools and techniques to form children with the understanding they need, appropriate to their age and maturity level, to meet the world's challenges. If we're not teaching our children how to understand tough moral issues, then the world will. Read Made This Way and learn how to give your kids a firm foundation on which to build a life of moral clarity and happiness. Order your copy of Made This Way today by calling 1-888-291-8000 or logging onto the shop at Catholic.com.
With the recent commemoration of the 50th anniversary of the release of Humani Vitae, there have been fresh attacks on Catholic teaching from outside and, unfortunately, inside the Church. That's why Catholic Answers thought it critical to provide a vigorous affirmation of Pope Paul VI's prophetic wisdom with our newest book, Inseparable, 5 Perspectives on Sex, Life, and Love in Defense of Humani Vitae. We asked 5 distinguished contributors to reflect on and defend Humani Vitae from 5 perspectives, each of them compelling, together forming a mosaic of truth. Don't be caught uninformed when the topic comes up among friends, family, and coworkers. Order your copy of Inseparable today by calling 1-888-291-8000 or by visiting the shop at Catholic.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. So good to be here on a Monday. So good to have you here with us. And it is a great big Monday show. Joe Heschmeyer, this hour talking about prayer. Does prayer in fact work? You want to get in on that conversation, 888-318-7884. Next hour, we talk about my favorite topic, heaven. I just think we don't talk enough about the good news. And if you don't talk about heaven, you're not really talking about the good news. So we'll do that next hour with Monsignor Charles Pope. Just a great guy to do that with. Joe Heschmeyer, our guest this hour, he has a is it a podcast or a blog or it's called Shameless Popery. That would be the blog, and the podcast is the Catholic Podcast. Okay,
exactly.
It's starting to come together for me now. I don't know why I always say blog when I mean podcast. Well, yeah, I do know why, because I'm over 50 and these words are new, and I'm old apparently.
I didn't want to venture a guess on that one.
No, it wouldn't have been a hard guess. Be good to Joe. He's 2 weeks married, so it's all new to him. The world is new and fresh to Joe's eyes. He knows that prayer works because she said yes and married him. So now if you'd like to talk to Joe about that, 888-318-7884. We start now with Denise in North Carolina listening on Sirius Satellite Channel 130. That's EWTN on Sirius Satellite. Denise, your question for Joe Heschmeyer.
Hi, yes. Can you hear me?
We can.
I can.
Great. So I certainly believe in the power of prayer. And I'm a great deliverer of prayer, you know, daily rosary, can say the rote prayers. My weakness is entering into that sacred silence where we need to hear what God is trying to say to us and maybe giving us an answer. And as you can imagine, the busy life, lots of distractions, noise, I really have a hard time quieting my soul and finding that silence to be able to hear what God is saying. And I'm wondering if you have any tips or ideas on how to improve on being able to hear what God is saying. It's a two-way street here, and I do a lot of one way, but not the other way, and that's the part that's missing, I think, for me.
Yeah, I think that's the first step, is that recognition. You know, a lot of what we've talked about today has been petitionary prayer. You know, we ask God for X, Y, and Z. But there's much more than that. There, so are you familiar with what's called the ACTS model of prayer, A-C-T-S? It talks about the four types of prayer. Yeah, adoration, where we just praise God for being God. And sometimes that's just silent awe before him. Contrition, thanksgiving, and supplication. So we acknowledge God as God. We apologize for our sins. We thank him for everything he's given us. And then we ask him for those things. The only thing missing from that is, like you said, this time of sacred silence where we let it really be a two-way street in which God can communicate with us. And I think in terms of practical tips, maybe the best is just to cultivate the continual presence of God throughout your day, being mindful that you are even now in the presence of God. Like right now, as we speak, we're in the presence of God. And so one of the really effective ways of beginning prayer is to stop and sort of take a moment to do that. So there's an author, Dom Eugene Boylan, who has an excellent book called Difficulties in Mental Prayer. And he says at this point that it means that prayer is no longer a matter of some few minutes spent on our knees struggling to find something to say. It becomes a more or less continual awareness of Jesus living in us, of Jesus growing in us, of Jesus molding us by his providence to his heart's desire. Our cooperation, our companionship, our submission, our smile of surrender as we continually give up our own way in order to let him have his way. All these are our prayer. So if you live that day in, day out, it becomes much easier to get a sense of what God is calling you to in the particulars of the moment. But if you don't live that out, if you wait until you have kind of an urgent necessity, and thanks be to God, it sounds like, Denise, you're not like that. It sounds like you have a pretty healthy prayer life already. But the more we spend time with God, the more we come to recognize that kind of still, quiet voice. There aren't any shortcuts that I know of. I think you have to just spend a lot of time with God in silence and even in frustration and spiritual dryness of kind of turning your distractions over to him, of starting to wander off and coming back to him maybe 20 times in prayer, only kind of continuing and persevering in that. Do you ever get like a greater sense of what God is saying in the moment?
What do you think, Denise?
Right. I think those are great. And, you know, I think what I'll do is pray for that ability to discern and pray for that silence. It's real hard for me. I'm a control freak and very dominant. And I'll make up answers if I need to. And that's not what I know God wants me to do. So, but I am in touch with the Holy Spirit, and you know, I will test out what I think God might be saying by praying to the Holy Spirit, and if it gives me a really good feeling, I guess that's what he wanted me to do, right?
There's a feeling of peace. Peace of a certain type comes only from God. The good feeling could come from God, or it could come because we found an answer that we like. So it takes a pretty great familiarity with God. St. Ignatius of Loyola has a whole series of rules for how to discern which voices are coming from God, which ones are coming from the devil, and which ones are coming from ourselves. But it's worth maybe taking a look at Ignatius's rules for discernment to to really become a little more used to it. And then really, like I said, just practice makes perfect here, or at least more perfect.
Thank you, Denise. Thanks very much for that call. We go now to Judy in Colorado, listening on 1060 AM. Julie, your question for Joe Heschmeyer. Judy? Judy, are you?
In the story, little story to tell. I was married in the mid-60s, and we had 7 children. And I had started going to Bible studies, and I really came to know the Lord through reading the Bible and being in Bible study groups. And I knew that my husband did not have that kind of relationship with the Lord, and he was not interested. So I began to pray, Lord, do whatever it takes for him to have a desire to come to know you. Well, I prayed that way for a couple years, and what happened was he was diagnosed with a fatal bone marrow disease, and he had 1 to 5 years to live. And it was huge. He was very vigorous physically, ran 5 miles a day. He was very healthy. And a friend, the parent of some of our older kids who we knew through sports and things, stopped by when he heard about this and asked if Rich would like to go to a Bible study, a men's Bible study. And he jumped at the chance, which I don't think he would have if he didn't have this news. And within a month, they were reading Romans, and they were in Romans 8. And however God got his attention, it was a profound conversion. And, I mean, I didn't know that was going to happen. That's not what I exactly prayed for, but it's all that matters. Our salvation is all that matters. So that happened, and now that's how I pray. When I don't know, I mean, none of us knows for sure what's best for people or worst ever, whatever. And I have a lot of grandchildren, and I pray for all of them that the Lord will do whatever it takes to keep them. They're being raised to be faithful and everything, to keep them on the right path. And I have a Dwiddle list, I call it, do whatever it takes, Lord, of other people that I pray for, that I know they're not family members, but they're on my list of the Lord doing whatever it takes.
Judy, I'd like to get Joe's response.
Have an opportunity to respond, at least.
Yeah, so I think that's beautiful that you're able to see God's hand, even in moments of intense sorrow and intense suffering. And recognizing that the thing we most want for all of our loved ones is for them to have a good relationship with God now and eternally. That's where our hope has to lie, for life to have more than a fleeting meaning, I think. So I'm glad that you have that experience. I'm glad that you have a real sense of the efficacy of prayer. I'm thankful that we've had a couple people now who've been able to share kind of stories from their own life about how God has taken even these really painful situations and used those as answers to prayer. I'm hoping that listeners who may be struggling with feeling like, well, God hasn't answered my prayer yet, hear that and realize that he will. I mean, it may not look like what we want it to look like, but if we're persistent in prayer, he'll come through.
Judy, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for sharing with us. Thank you so much for that call. Our number here is 888-31-TRUTH if you'd like to get in on the conversation about prayer with Joe Heschmeyer. Also, Joe, I'm holding in my hands a copy of – it's hot, this copy. It's physically hot because it's right off the presses of Catholic Answers Magazine, the November-December issue. You have an article in there called Protestantism's False Start. How often are you in Catholic Answers Magazine, Joe?
This is the second time I've been in Catholic Answers Magazine, second of hopefully many.
I hope so, too. I hope so, too. And so, and why did you write about Protestantism in the Advent Christmas issue?
Well, I'd actually written it a while back, but there was a space in the Advent Christmas issue. So it's not particularly a Christmassy article.
I gotcha.
It's about the birth of the Reformation. So actually, it's very timely right now. 2 days from now is the 501st anniversary of the Reformation's beginning. So it all turned out providentially, Si. We got to talk about it at the most topical of times because it's all about Luther's original reform.
Well, I use that also as an opportunity to let people know they can get Catholic Answers magazine. They should get Catholic Answers magazine. Some of the best writing you'll find in a Catholic publication anywhere is in there, and it's such a help to the faith, Catholic Answers magazine, because all kinds of questions are covered in there. Right now, if you subscribe for a 1-year subscription, you're in time to get the January-February issue, and that one is A to Z apologetics. It's just starting with the letter A, going through the letter Z of different apologetics questions and problems and issues, and you'll be happy you did. You just go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com to sign up, CatholicAnswersMagazine.com.
We're here for you. Call now. Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Radio, I believe, is the greatest tool for evangelization that the church has today. And I know this because we hear from people all over the world that tell us all the time they came to faith in Christ, in the Catholic Church, through Catholic Radio. Guy that lives right next door to you, he might not ask you about your Catholic faith, but he'll ask us. He'll call in and say, "Tell me about the Catholic Church."
Dr. David Anders thinks Catholic Radio is important. So should you.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Great big Monday show. Joe Heschmeyer, our guest this hour. We're talking about prayer, and we go straight to John in Dallas, Texas, listening on the Catholic Answers app. John, thanks for downloading the app onto your phone. Your question for Joe.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I had two questions. The first one is, I have a litany of intentions that I go through, and being an obsessive compulsive person, it takes about 25 minutes to get through the entire list. And part of the problem is when people are on the list, they don't fall off the list. So it just keeps getting longer. But I have a shorter list that I do, and I say, when I say the rosary in the morning, I say, you know, for my usual list of intentions and petitions, and then especially for the following list, which only takes about 3 or 4 minutes to get through. I mean, is that still working? I don't know. I mean, seems kind of cheesy to me, but it's the best I can do with the time I've got.
Yeah, no, I think it still is working. I would look at in the Summa by St. Thomas Aquinas. In the second part of the second part, he has a whole section on prayer. It's question 83, but in Article 13 of that. So this is second part of the second part, question 83, Article 13. He talks about the attention necessary in prayer. And so, you know, he's looking at all of these issues. You know, if you say you're going to pray for someone, you say, I'm going to pray a rosary for you, and then 3 Hail Marys into the rosary, you kind of forget about the person or about the intention you were praying for. Is that enough? You know, like all of those questions. And he has a real, I think, realistic and kind of relaxed attitude towards it. That the raising up of the mind to God is where it's at. So the fact that you're trying to pray for these people is enough. It's a prayer. So God isn't obsessive compulsive, to put it very, you know, bluntly. He's not going to worry about, oh, you didn't cross your T just right. You didn't dot this I, and so I can't accept this prayer. Now, of course, the more we pour into that prayerful intention for the other person, the better. You know, a very brief prayer is nice, but having more time to pray on and really plead their case before God is even nicer. But I wouldn't worry about the details over, you know, how many seconds or minutes did you spend praying for this or that intention. The fact that you are trying to pray for it within the time that you have, that you're able to pray, is, I think, exactly what he's asking for.
What do you think?
I had a second question. What do you do when you're praying for people and it gets worse? I mean, I had that happen a couple of times with people that, friends of ours, who are having a really bad time and you're praying for them and then it just keeps getting worse.
Yeah, I think you just pray for them more, maybe pray for them harder. I often feel this way about working, you know, like, why would you work if it seems like you just keep losing money? Well, because if you weren't working, you'd be losing money at an even faster rate, right? And so you don't know how bad their situation would be but for the prayers being offered up for them. And so it could always be worse. And so I think you continue to pray for them. And if things get worse, you pray for them more. And if you feel called to pray for them even more, you know, like, just be responsive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Listen to that voice telling you to pray for this person or for this intention. Because, you know, the odds are really good. The devil's not the one encouraging you to pray and not the one encouraging you to take a situation to God. He's the one telling you to leave God out of it, right? So this is one of those few times in life where it's usually pretty easy to tell the will of God about whether or not you should pray for a certain thing. You should pray for it.
Okay.
Thanks, John. I appreciate that call. I mean, it is hard to, Joe, to kind of avoid superstitious prayer sometimes. And I would classify that as prayer where we expect the prayer itself to be powerful instead of expecting God to be powerful and just trusting in whatever his response to it is. Like, so prayer is not like a magic spell. And to think of it that way is very, very dangerous. It puts a great kind of emphasis on ourselves rather than on God.
You know who does a great job of contrasting these two different types of prayer is a guy by the name of Jesus of Nazareth. In Matthew chapter 6, he compares the superstitious prayers of the Gentiles, where they think if they just recite a long enough litany or the right words that it'll kind of magically get them what they want. And then he contrasts this with Christian prayer. And he says that when you pray to God, he begins by saying, the Father knows what you want before you ask for it. Now, I think an efficiency-minded person hears that and is like, well, why am I bothering to pray at all?
Right.
And the reason is because he is omniscient, omnipotent, and your Father. And he wants a relationship with you. And that's a relationship that is incredibly fulfilling because it's what you're made for. And it's also incredibly powerful because it's a friendship with the most powerful anyone conceivable. Like, you're not going to have a more powerful friend than God himself.
And you can really hurt yourself if you think, well, if I could just be purer, if I could just say this prayer in a purer way, and you become kind of obsessive about your own, you know, I got to do it this way, I got to do it that way, then we end up really hurting ourselves thinking that somehow we're failing because the prayer wasn't good enough, or I didn't do it right, or I missed a day on the novena. I had a priest tell me one time, it's good when you miss a day on a novena because then you remember it's not your doing, it's God's doing, you know, that makes these things happen. And that was a very helpful thing for him to say, because we can really damage ourselves when we start thinking, if only I could get this prayer right.
Right, because what does it do? It turns the attention away from God and back towards us. And that's exactly, I think, what the devil wants. It's what the enemy wants. He wants us not to be focused on God and focus on that relationship. He wants us to look at our own inadequacies, whether that's a moral inadequacy or whether it's missing a day in a novena or whatever it is. And the more he can get us to fixate on our own insecurities rather than turning them over to God, the more he's winning.
Let's go to New Orleans and Barbara. Barbara, thanks for your call. Your question for Joe.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I was calling because I honestly have difficulty finding joy in God's will. So often, I take it personally, and I kind of have my feelings hurt and feel rejected or stupid that I can't get what he's trying to tell me. And I have found that in my life that when I started really kind of
turning toward God and prayer life. I mean, I always did, but when I really started, that's when things in my life started, like, slowly but surely going south. I mean, I started Adoration Chapel, then I started praying the rosary on a regular basis. And really, my life is one big prayer. I just walk and talk and nag him to death. And that's how I feel, like I'm nagging him. But at the same time, I feel like he often, he's like, yeah, yeah, no. And finding the joy in accepting his will is really a struggle for me. And I feel, again, like another failure, that I can't just, you know, skip through life saying, okay, this, my life is totally upside down. And I just feel so human. And I am having a hard time, although I feel totally connected and I know he hears me. It's just a struggle to just feel so, just know again. And although he's answered many, many, many prayers, and I don't want to be ungrateful, I guess I'm greedy, and that's my problem.
I wonder if that's your problem. I'm not sure. Joe, your response?
Well, I guess I'm thinking of a couple things. One of the things I'm thinking of St. Teresa of Avila's line, where she said to God, if this is how you treat your friends, it's no wonder you have so few. And so sometimes it does seem like God invites us to really difficult situations. Because look at the way the Father lets his own son be treated. Who's he going to love more than Jesus? And yet Jesus suffers the agony in the garden. He suffers the crucifixion. He suffers being misunderstood and rejected and everything else you can imagine. And so in that sense, I think when the sort of suffering that comes from the feeling that our prayers aren't being answered comes our way, that is sometimes itself an invitation, I think. It's an invitation to cooperating in redemptive suffering. But I guess if I could just ask you, Barbara, do you have the sense that God knows you and that he loves you and that he has a plan for your life that is crafted for you intentionally and personally and built out of that love and knowledge?
I do.
And
I really
so in that
it.
Sense,
I look back and say, oh, yeah, I get it.
But wait, we lost Barbara.
Yeah.
Oh,
no. So I think, you know, if you were to ask a baby what he thought of the way his parents were raising him, he probably would have some serious misapprehensions that a lot of the things they did didn't seem very loving. Like he wants to put a fork in the light socket and they're being unreasonable about it. But there are times where that's kind of what God has to do with it. We don't get why the thing that seems so good to us isn't actually good. And so it can be really frustrating. I don't know. I mean, I don't know I don't know the details of your life.
But. It's difficult, I think, for us to hold in one mind, our own mind, the extremes of take up your cross each day and follow me, and your loving Father knows what you want before you even ask it. This is a hard dichotomy, but it is, in fact, the Christian faith.
Yeah, well, I mean, I totally embrace it and love it, but I, at the same time, I just kind of sometimes actually often just look up and say, really? And I talk to him and I tell you, I nag him all the time, really? Is this really it? I feel sometimes stupid, like I'm not getting it. He's saying, you know, do this. Although I have to say, he has definitely, definitely been so good to me.
Praise God.
I know that. And I have felt his hand. And I have also looked back in life and said, I can see how you prepared me for something from something years before.
Yeah. Yeah. Barbara, thank you so much for that call. Joe, any last thoughts?
Yeah, well, I'm just grateful for everyone's stories, I think, because it really shows the trickiness of prayer. So often it can feel like we don't get the results we want or things get worse before they get better. But I think the stories of the final victories there, even in the midst of really tough situations, that we're faithful to prayer, God comes through.
Joe Heschmeyer has been our guest. You can find him at Shameless Popery. Just look up Shameless Popery. You'll come across him. Joe, thanks for a very fine hour.
Well, thank you.
Next hour, Monsignor Charles Pope coming in. We're going to talk about heaven. You're not going to want to miss this. We'll be right back with Heaven on Catholic Answers Live right after this.